Hello, and welcome to Virtus Voices. This is Joe Terranova, Senior Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist for Virtus Investment Partners. Today, I am glad to be joined by Matt Benkendorf, Chief Investment Officer at Vontobel Asset Management, a sub-advisor to the Virtus Vontobel Global Mutual Funds. Matt, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Matt, I want to begin just talking about the phase one U.S.-Chinese trade deal resolution and the tailwind that it has provided to the capital markets. But unfortunately now, a couple of weeks later, we're dealing with the unfortunate circumstance of the coronavirus, which seems to be adding some headwinds. How should we think about balancing the tailwind from the resolution of phase one with the headwind related to the virus? And what type of companies would you see could potentially benefit or negatively be impacted by these circumstances?
Yeah, Joe, I think as you mentioned properly, you know, we've had this big extra rally, I would call it, in the market at the end of last year from the fall on. And critically, there were two pieces there. One, I think before the trade deal was probably the pivot on U.S. monetary policy back to further easing. But then clearly the market got happy with what it took as a resolution with this phase one deal. Now, the fundamentals of the deal, I don't think are any such resolution on the real structural overhanging issues. But nevertheless, I think the market, it, to some degree, was just happy that there was forward progress, and that's fine to interpret that way. So we had this strong run, and now, as you mentioned, as we deal with it real time, we have this viral outbreak in China. On that specifically, I think in conjunction with the market run-up we've had, look, I think if you're an equity investor, you're by nature in a long-duration asset or investment. So any issue like this virus is really a short-term issue in the whole time continuum of your investment. So yes, it's going to have an impact, and markets, you know, can react to that. This quarter will be weak. Business operations will be weak, clearly. The closer you get to an effect of a virus, you know, travel, consumption, it's at a particularly bad time for China specifically with the Chinese New Year celebration. And in places like Macau, you know, as much as 5% of their annual revenue comes in just about 7 days there because the New Year is such a big event. So bad timing for an unfortunate event, but given what the event is, it's much more short-term in nature. So with the long-duration assets like equities, you would be a buyer on weakness here. But now put that in the context of the strong run we had, I think we've had a pullback here in the last couple of days because of the virus. But I would say equities, by and large, are still neither here nor there, even with this pullback.
So is there a specific region or a type of company that you're looking for when you're mining for these opportunities to find good-performing businesses in the emerging markets?
Yeah, I think, you know, right in our wheelhouse, the good news is, unfortunately, while they are pulling back in the near term, some of these names you're alluding to, consumption-oriented names in our wheelhouse are being affected here. So whether it's going to be alcohol consumption, gaming consumption, or whether it's just going to be people on lockdown because they're not traveling or fearful right now for the next whatever it's going to be, weeks, months, before things get fully under control or people feel comfortable again, those are the types of businesses we're after in our wheelhouse. Why? Because the long-term predictability is very high in those businesses. Unfortunately, the short-term is also very predictable here. They just won't be consumed. But, you know, when you look at a business, or, as we do, or any equity, you really want to be focused on what the earnings power of that business is 4 or 5 years out into the future, not what it is in this one given quarter. So this pullback, I think, because of the virus, if I sort of gauge it more broadly, you know, I think the market's had a very steep run up here, and the glass has just been completely full in everybody's eyes. So I think what this pullback shows you, even though it's based on this virus, is that, you know, the market's a little bit priced for perfection in general, and just not in terms of specificity of the value of the market, but just any incremental exogenous bad news, I think the market's going to have a disproportionate reaction to it. And we're seeing the near-term effects of that right here.
Matt, over the last couple of years, you and I have talked a lot about India and the fiscal stimulus looking somewhat similar to the stimulus that the United States got in 2017. Seems as though that stimulus is somewhat exhausted. Share your observations on we should be thinking specifically about India as a geographic investment.
That's a great question because it's a big exposure for us, you know, and it sort of runs counter to what we talked about with this Chinese viral issue, which is very clear and very short term in its dampening effect. The Indian situation, I would say, is a little bit more shorter to medium term in that the dampening effect of the litany of economic reforms that have gone on there is certainly now ground down the domestic economy. Rural growth has slowed somewhat precipitously in the nearer quarters. You look at companies in the staple space, even like Unilever, talking about a slowdown from 10 to 5% in some of these rural areas. So that's pretty acute. Now, unlike the virus even, you know, it's a little bit harder to predict how that shorter, as I call it, shorter to medium term issue sort of starts to lap itself and recover. But once again, I think the same situation there also applies in India as in China, as the long term still looks very good and the predictability of the long term looks very good. I think India still, you have, you know, the ability to stimulate further, so that's good news. As I pointed out before, I think the reforms that are dampening the economy there near term are very positive in the long term, as hard as they are to digest sometimes. So, you know, net-net, you're question. I think India has an incredibly bright future. It's a vibrant democracy. It's got really great businesses there. And also what you find too, you know, it's got a litany of businesses that might not be directly in the crosshairs of this near-term domestic slowdown. So some of our investments in India broadly as a space in IT services, for example, right? These are Indian-based businesses with a lot of Indian, high-quality Indian workers, but their business is global and it's got a very strong structural tailwind behind it. And it's rather more immune from the other knockoff effects of India domestic, like budgetary pressure, so currency weakness, or, you know, spikes in energy prices, which also can dampen a lot more domestic businesses. It's rather insular from that. So India, what I'm trying to say, I guess, is it's a great diverse market. It's a great country with a great long-term visible positive future. So even though we've had some near-term pullback, and it's been a bit of headwind last year because of the economic slowdown, you know, we're as positive as we are on India as always long-term.
The last couple of years, a lot of conversation has centered around style and strategy, and we're going to pivot here for a second from the geographic diversification to more of style and strategy diversification. Significant outperformance for growth over value, and there seems to be no boundary to that. We know about the growth outperformance domestically here in the United States, but how are you thinking about growth relative to value and this pending reservation that value seems to have on the calendar to rotate and outperform growth? Do you see that coming, or do you still think growth is the favorite style and strategy over value?
I think the question that you're asking and that people are wondering about a little bit more from a style perspective, you know, I think the greater relevancy in the question is actually not from a style rotation angle, but it's just that when is the market going to generally be a bit more concerned about valuations? Not so per se value as a style, because I don't think the growth value as a style shift is as concerning to me, because what's in that traditional value style bucket are a lot more impaired, damaged businesses. And they aren't particularly cheap, the cyclically impaired ones that are meant to mean revert either. So the style issue, I think, hasn't been as relevant or material for an end investor to be concerned about. But I think what it has brought about, hopefully, I hope, because we all want efficient markets longer term, is maybe a greater emphasis or focus now on valuations. And that applies to growth stocks too as well. Every business should have an approximate worth, and you do need to sharpen your pencil and calculate that worth, because the market is, it's a great auction mechanism. It's a weighing machine in the long term, but a voting machine in the short run. And you can hold a phenomenal, fantastic business with very high growth, but at some point, the market might be willing to pay you for that business today for an exaggerated or for several years of future growth, where it can make sense from a capital allocation perspective to take that money and use it elsewhere where the market's giving you a better opportunity. And that idea and concept, which is very basic, that we're talking about here and sort of reminding people of, is something that's gotten lost a bit in the shuffle over the last several years in particular, and probably generally speaking over the last 7 to 10 years, because monetary policy as a backdrop has been so easy and pushed sort of asset prices generally higher and higher. But it is very timely now that people should start thinking about that a little bit more, that markets can get thrown off of their efficiency, that momentum, you know, while in the near term people think it can be their friend, can be a real killer and a devastator to your investment portfolio at points in time when the market does inevitably wake up and start to strike values or recognize values a bit harder on businesses. And that's, I mention that here because it's something that's embedded in our DNA and our investment philosophy. You know, we're growth investors. investors, we're quality growth investors, but we have an 18 plus history of using a strict valuation discipline on top of growth. And we think, well, you know, being valuation conscious hasn't really driven a lot of investment value for a while now because stocks have consistently just chugged higher and people haven't worried about it as much. But it's critical that you always maintain that valuation discipline because the inflection points will kill you in investing. And some of those inflection points can come about because of the valuation focus again on equities and asset prices.
That's a great answer. I appreciate the distinction. It sounds like you don't think the markets and companies should just be continue to be pricing on multiple expansion, which was a lot of what the story was in 2019. Lastly, Matt, I just want to touch on volatility if we could. Certainly there's been an increase in volatility over the last week or so given the coronavirus's introduction to the capital markets. How is it exactly investors should be navigating and thinking about elevated volatility in 2020, whether specific to valuations that were mean reverting, as you suggested, presidential election in the United States, or the exogenous event that seems to have presented itself early on in 2020 here in the first few weeks of January?
I think there's two points I'd make. It's a great question. I think one, if I'm an investor out there when it comes to volatility, one thing I would be very careful to look at right now across their investment portfolios and funds isn't just the headline performance figures they've been looking at now for several years, which have been good and comforting and feel good. I would make sure that now's a good time to look at their individual portfolios and look further than the performance numbers they've been getting at the underlying characteristics of the portfolios and looking at, you know, what have been there looking at the Greek letters, you know, looking at what has been the risk that those portfolios have been taking to get them those investment returns over the last several years, because not all returns are the same. So like you said, looking at the volatility in the underlying portfolios, looking at drawdowns, looking at forecasted betas in portfolios, tracking error, elements like that, I think are very, very important right now because it's easy now to lump all returns in as being the same and relative returns too as being in the same. The risk of the index versus the risk you want to get, or reduced risk for that matter, with an active manager if you pick the right one. So I think that's one element right now people out there should be focused on, peeling back the onion a little bit deeper in their investments and seeing what kind of risk they've been taking to get the returns they've had, to make sure they are truly satisfied with what they've achieved, but also that they're positioned well going forward. Because that gets to your other part of your question, you know, volatility. Volatility is traditionally, you know, the bigger friend of the buyer. So that's the good news. The U.S. economy, generally speaking, you know, is pretty well underpinned. So that's good news. And you need to be positive, as we've talked about before in other conversations, as an equity investor. You're an optimist long term, and that served you well. So, you know, whether it's the virus we just talked about, or just generally speaking, you want to be an optimist long term, and you want to use volatility. And volatility is generally more exacerbated in the drawdown as your friend to be a buyer of some businesses you've had your eye on at the right valuation. So, you know, one side, as I said, look at your portfolio, making sure you're getting the right return for the right risk that you think you've been taking. And two, look at this environment as a good thing, because generally we are all still incremental buyers of equities for the long term, and just have your pencil sharpened awaiting opportunities here, because the market sits at a pretty ripe spot for that. Back to our earlier comments, you know, a lot of multiple expansion, as you mentioned, has gone on, a lot of just generally upward moving momentum. And now is a good time that, you know, the market will have some bits of sanity here where it introduces some volatility back, because it is a risky world out there, right? Life is risky and things happen that are unpredictable, and just be ready to pounce on it and use volatility to your advantage.
Matt, thank you so much for your insight and your comments and spending some time with us on Virtus Voices today. Very much appreciated. I look forward to speaking with you on Virtus Voices in the coming future. For more information, you could always visit virtus.com.